The final instructions that Jesus gives to his disciples before he ascends to heaven, called the Great Commission. He says, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the earth." The Great Commission, the call for all believers to go and make disciples, to go and baptize and to teach and to encourage in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. See, that's a responsibility for every single person in this room who accepted Christ into their life. To go out into the world, wherever it is you find yourself, whether it's in an office park or whether it's out on the road or a construction site or even in a school, an opportunity for your life to make a difference in the life of someone else. To let our light shine, to let others know we belong to Christ. I remember when I was an early Christian working in an engineering firm, sitting in my office and just only been walking with the Lord maybe a year, maybe two. And someone sitting in my office, we were talking, we were working on a job, and we got to talking about the Lord. We got to be able to have a conversation, a discussion about our Savior. It was a sweet time. It was an opportunity for us to encourage one another. It's in those little opportunities that God gives to us that we can speak that hope into people's lives. Do you have hope this morning? I mean, that song that we just sang, I don't know about you, but that's one of those songs. Great are you, Lord. Great are you, Lord. Do you believe that this morning? Do you believe God is great? Turn to someone and say, God is great. God is great. God is great. Now, I would imagine along with those words that you just said, you probably have a reason why you just said them. Yeah, you just asked me to do it, right? That's what you're saying. No, but you have a reason why you believe God is great. God has done something in your life. God has saved you probably from a life separated from him for sure, but maybe he's saved you from some tragedy, some difficulty, or maybe he's healed you physically from an illness. Or maybe there's just that presence of God in your life that brings you an amazing amount of peace and encouragement and hope and hopes and dreams of a future that he would use you for. See, God is absolutely great. And Jesus tells his disciples, and he tells us this morning, go out there and tell others about me. Teach them the things that I've taught you. Let the word of God be spread into all the world. And because of that, because they were faithful to that call, many of us, all of us in this room, perhaps believe. Thank God they didn't just go, well, he didn't really mean it. Well, he wasn't really serious. But no, once they had the Holy Spirit in their life, the message spread, the gospel spread. See, you got to understand that God wishes that none should perish, that none should be separated from him. He wants all to come to the saving knowledge of his Son, Jesus Christ. No one's excluded from that. Even people in our minds and in our hearts, we would think they don't deserve to be saved. God wants them as well. And we need to make sure we stay within those contexts. You see, I want to ask you this question. Are you living up to your greatest potential? Are you living up to your greatest potential? And when I say that, I'm not here to discourage us and go, oh, here he goes, bringing that conviction. Billy Graham was asked not too long ago if he had the opportunity to do anything differently, what would he do differently? Do you know what he said? I would preach more about Jesus. To which we would all go, isn't that what he did? But he knows in his late years that even after faithfully preaching Christ and leading millions of people to the Lord, he still knows that if he could do it all again, he would do more of it. And so for all of us in this room, are we living up to our greatest potential? I would say many of us would say, some of it, not all of it. And so there's a determination in our hearts that Lord wants more from us. And not, listen, you're saved by grace. You're getting to heaven. But to be able to live up to your fullest potential, to be the person of God that he's created you to be, that he would look down at you and say to you, well done today. Well done today. As you were kind to someone, or when you helped someone, or when you just had good thoughts, or whatever it is. Well done today, Christian, because you're doing what I've asked you to do. See, I believe God wants us to live up to our greatest potential. And as we get into this next section of Revelation chapter 14, we are going to see the grace of God, to me, in one of the most beautiful pictures. Here it is, almost the end of the Great Tribulation, the end of this time for salvation to come to men to accept God. And even at the very end, when there's so much rejection of God and when there's so much worship of the Antichrist, God is still saying, will you accept me? Will you come to me? And it's like the time is closing. And certainly for us, we look at that's a time in the future. But for us, we have an opportunity to say, we still have the blessed hope of the gospel. We still have the blessed hope that Jesus Christ came into the world, lived a perfect life, died on a cross for our sins, but yet rose again on the third day and forever lives to make intercession for us. That's the opportunity that we have. And so there is greater potential for all of us. Even for all of us that are living a great life, there's still more greater opportunity and greater potential to live for the Lord. In Revelation chapter 14, read with me. We're going to see three different angels, three different announcements or proclamations that they're going to make. I want to read through it, verses 6 through 13. Verse 6 says, then I saw another angel flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach to those who dwell on the earth, to every nation, tribe, tongue, and people, saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment has come, and worship him who made heaven and earth, the sea and springs of water. And another angel followed, saying, Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she has made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. Then a third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if anyone worships the beast and his image and receives his mark on his forehead or on his hand, he himself shall also drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out full strength into the cup of his indignation. He shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascends forever and ever, and they shall have no rest day or night, who worship the beast and his image, and whoever receives the mark of his name. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are those who keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. Then I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works follow them. So in this section, we see three different distinct angels, three different distinct messages that are given to the people that are living in the time of the tribulation. We certainly have believers and we certainly have unbelievers in this time. But here it is, God sends these three angels to remind and to declare to the world, to those who are living on the earth at the time, that the time of his judgment has come, the hour of his judgment is here, it is here now, it is your last opportunity. When this door closes, you are not going to be able to be saved any longer. And to me, that is showing us the grace of God, even in the tribulation period when there is so much satanic worship, so much sexual immorality, so much darkness, so much awful times, that God still says, I still love them. And if he loves them this much, how much does he love you? He loves you so very much. Sometimes I think the church just needs to be reminded of the love of God, that he loves us, that the gospel is still as fresh and as exciting today as the day that Jesus died on the cross and the day he rose again. The hope, the blessed hope that God gives to us. My friends, God is showing us that he wants all to come to saving faith, all to come. I pray that we never bypass anyone the opportunity of receiving his grace, because here God is plainly showing his grace. Three angels. First one has the everlasting gospel, proclaims it to all the earth, every tribe, tongue, nation, everyone. No one's exempt. And you got to think about the scene here for a moment. Here's this angel, it says in mid-heaven, in the air, who knows? But it's being this gospel is being preached so that all can hear. Certainly for us who believe, that'd be a great message, wouldn't it? Praise God. God's message is being proclaimed. Think about it for the people who can't stand the gospel, who can't stand God, who hate God, to constantly hear this message. It was to them, it was nothing. It meant nothing. They didn't believe in a God. They didn't believe in the hope of heaven. So that messenger, that angel is proclaiming the gospel. Do you know up until this point in time now, no angel has ever proclaimed the gospel? It's been left for us, his followers. Angels don't proclaim the gospel. Angels actually watch us as we share the gospel with others. It's 1 Timothy 6:17. Oh, no, it isn't. Okay, it's 1 Peter 1:12. It won't be overhead. Listen to this. To them, speaking about the prophets, it was revealed that not themselves, but also to us, they were ministering the things which have now been reported to you through those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. Things which angels desire to look into. Again, 1 Peter 1 and 12. The prophets proclaimed the Messiah to come, the Savior of the world that would take away the sins of the world. They prophesied about it, but it was yet future. It wasn't for them. Jesus would come at a later time. And that preaching of the gospel came through men, through the prophets, through the apostles, and angels sit around going, let's see what they're doing. Do you know why it's so fascinating for an angel? They have no sin. They're sinless beings. They don't understand the grace of God. We understand the grace of God, don't we? We're sinners. We need God's grace. We fall short every single day, but yet God's grace is there for us. So here at the end of the great tribulation, when that window of opportunity for salvation is closing, an angel gets to go through heaven and say, I get to preach the gospel. I get to preach the gospel, which fulfills Matthew 24, 14, where Jesus says himself, before the last days, every tribe and tongue will hear the gospel. Every single one. And here the fulfilling of that prophecy is being fulfilled here in this angel who gets the message out. No one can stand before God at the end and go, I never heard the gospel. You mean you didn't hear the gospel? If you've ever been to Israel, the call to prayer happens, I think, three or four times a day. And it's just this, I mean, we don't understand it because it's in Arabic. But it's very loud. It's broadcast over huge speakers. All of Jerusalem can hear it. And for those of us who believe, it's like, call to prayer, good reminder. Wrong God. And this makes me think of that. When this angel is going to proclaim this message that's going to spread throughout all the world, the world's not going to want to hear it. The world's going to be like, plug my ears. I don't want to hear about this God. We've got Satan. We've got the Antichrist. See, these three angels have three different messages, but I want to look at the second angel first. In verse 8, very simple, and another angel followed saying, Babylon is fallen, is fallen. What is this, Babylon? In the tribulation period, we believe that the Roman Empire is going to be reestablished, so Babylon could refer to either Rome or actual ancient Babylon restored, but more than likely, it represents the world system. The world system. He's saying the world system is falling. It's crashing, okay? Talk about stock market crash, government imploding. It's going to be a time where everything that they believe, every authority over them is falling and crushing, and that's what this angel is declaring. And the reason for the message is because Babylon caused the nations to drink. Notice it says, because she has made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. Spiritual fornication. denying Christ, the world system that will be in place during the Great Tribulation will crumble under God's authority. And what God is saying in this particular, for this particular angel, is do not trust in worldly, in a worldly system. God knows the current condition of our country is in an interesting place. And I don't know how you feel about the current president, whether you like him or don't, but the future's not looking too good, is it? But who's our ultimate authority? Jesus Christ. No matter how this country goes, no matter how we experience the blessings in this country, and no matter how the future goes, we still sit under the authority of God. And this angel is saying, don't trust in a system. Don't trust in the world. Trust in God. Now listen, the problem is we're under the system, aren't we? We live in the system. And we're part of it. But we have to learn to trust God. Do you realize how much you do rely on this worldly system? Do you realize how much we trust in this system? I mean, America's a great country. We're sitting in a room that when we turn the light switches on, the lights come on. When the air we want air conditioning, we turn the air conditioning on. When we want the heat, when we got chairs, I know they're not that comfortable, but we at least have a place to sit. What happens in this world when your electricity goes out? We complain. Oh, I remember this was years ago. I was working for an engineering company in South Florida. I was a draftsman. We worked on computers all day. And every now and again, the power would go out. And you would hear throughout the offices these screams. Oh! You knew someone didn't save their work. You know what I mean? It's like, oh, how many hours did I work when I did? Now the power just went out. Just the other day, I'm on my cell phone. These things. I'm on my cell phone. I'm trying to look up something on Google. And it's taken a long time to load. And I'm frustrated. It's like, this stupid phone. And I, you know, you're holding it up, trying to get a signal. You know, oh, the text won't send. How many times have you sent a text and then find out later, failed to send? It's like, oh, I told my wife I loved her and I was praying for her, and it didn't send. Frustrating. Do we trust in this world system? Do we trust in this economy? Do we trust in the things? What happens when it all goes away? What happens when it all disappears? We need to learn to just trust in the Lord. It's easy for us to understand the place that we're in, but we are so dependent upon the systems that are in our lives. We got to realize these things we cannot trust in. I'm not going to say that. No, it was bad. I remember a time when phones had a cord and had a bell that rang on them and a spinny thing that you would do with the numbers. Didn't you hate the phone numbers? It had a lot of nines and zeros in it. It's like, oh. Right? And when you called somebody, there was no answering machine. I know I'm dating myself here. Or if they were on the phone, you know what you got? You young people don't understand. Busy signal. We were not as reachable as we are today. These things are consuming us. They're consuming our time. And hey, listen, I'm not saying they're evil. I'm not saying they're wicked. I'm not saying they're of Antichrist. I'm just saying we have got to be careful. If you're feeling in your life like you're dry, like you don't feel close to the Lord, I say sometimes try to set technology aside. My computer actually has a button on it that says do not disturb. It actually will turn off any notifications, anything that's going to interrupt me while I'm studying. My phone has it too. When was the last time any of us actually turned our cell phone off? Can you imagine? Have you seen the Chevy commercial where they take the people's cell phones and they stick them into a shredder and plastic comes flying out? The guy turns to one woman and goes, how'd that make you feel? She goes, I feel like I'm sick to my stomach. I'm like, oh, I don't know about you, but I want one of these chippers. It's like, when I'm studying, I want my phone to go in the chipper. I don't need distractions. We have so many distractions in this worldly system. We've got to be careful that we are not trusting in the system. We're trusting in God. See, many of us in this room, if there's plenty of money in our checking account, man, God, praise the Lord. God is good. But when things get tight, when we can't make our rent, man, don't we get on our knees? Lord, help me, please. God, please. We're trusting in man's things. Here it is. Finally, this verse. 1 Timothy 6:17. Made up. Command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Now, I don't know about you, but you might be looking at this verse going, well, thank God I'm not rich. If you're the poorest person in this state or in this country, you are rich by the rest of the world's standards. And I don't know if you noticed it or not, those first two words really got to me this week. Command those. Command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty or to trust in uncertain riches. It's a command. It's an instruction to say, be careful, people. There's too many things in the current society that we live in that we can trust in, and we need to learn that we are trusting in you, Lord. I mean, don't just thank God for direct deposit when your check goes in. Thank God all the time, because he is your provider. He is your Lord. And this angel is telling the tribulation saints and telling us today, don't trust in the world system. It's getting ready to fold. It's getting ready to crumble. And we need to make sure we're prepared for that too. The third angel, verse 9, then the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if anyone worships the beast and his image and receives his mark on his forehead or on his head, he himself shall also drink of the wine of the wrath of God. So here's the picture. We know this from chapter 13 of Revelation, that there's going to be a time when the false prophet sets up an image of the Antichrist and forces the people of the tribulation period to worship this image. And you hear this angel saying, listen, if you worship that image, and if you have the mark either on your forehead or your right hand, then guess what? Notice it says in verse 10, he himself shall drink of the wrath of God. God sends no one to hell. God wants all people to receive him and receive the grace that he has. It is the people in the tribulation, the people in our world that purposely choose not to believe in God. We know people like this, don't we? They purposely choose not to believe in God. And I think one of the greatest and the biggest reasons why people don't want to trust in God is because if they trust in God, they have to be responsible to him. See, those of us who believe in God, we want to be up under his authority. We want to be up under his grace. We want to be up under what he has for us. This third angel has this reminder for this church that, listen, every single day we need to know that we are escaping the wrath of God because of Jesus. Because of what Jesus has done for us. When God looks at your life, he sees his perfect son. What a beautiful thing that is. Every single day we choose, do we not? To follow God. It's a choice. You wake up every single morning and you have a choice. Either I'm going to honor God in my actions and my thoughts, in my things, or I'm going to wake up and I'm going, yeah, I'm not going to choose to follow God today. It's a choice. And it's a choice you must choose every single day. See, you look at these two things. Verse 8, the second angel, and we see the third angel, the things that they're warning the people. You would think they would just go, okay, I'll accept. But no, there's still going to be people in those days that choose not to accept. There was a time in my life when I didn't believe in God. I would go to Christmas Eve service. I would do an Easter service, whatever. But there was a time when I just didn't believe. I just believed you live this life. You work as hard as you can, get as much stuff as you can, and when you die, you get buried in a hole and you rot. I actually wore a t-shirt. You ever heard this? He who dies with the most toys wins. You ever hear that saying? Then I got saved, and they have another t-shirt. He who dies with the most toys still dies. And on the back it says, he who dies in Christ wins. It's a total different perspective. He who dies with the most stuff still dies. But if we die in Christ, Those are when we win. Those are when we win. See, we have opportunities to help others understand that life is not just the things that you acquire, not the things that you get, not the nice clothes, not the nice house, not the nice car, not the stuff. That makes no difference in the sight of God. You can't take it with you, can you? God doesn't go, hey, where's your car? I left it back there. No, God says, why should I let you in? Because of Jesus. So these two angels give some very difficult information. Two conditions that is the fate of the people of the tribulation period. And that's why I've left the last one back to the first angel for the last point, because this is the condition that the tribulation saints are in. This is the sad state that they're in. But the remedy is in what the first angel said. So look back at verse 6 with me. Then I saw another angel flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach to those who dwell on the earth, to every nation, tribe, tongue, and people. So this angel has good news, right? That's what the gospel means. Good news. Good news. Great news, I would say. And that's what this angel has to share with the people in the world. The great news, the gospel, is what? John 3:16, we probably all know it by heart. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that who should ever believe in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. That's the good news. And that's what this angel gets to share with the world. Notice what it says, though, and this is what I want to spend most of our time with in verse 7. Saying with a loud voice, fear God, give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment has come, and worship him who made heaven and earth, the sea and the springs of water. Three things I want you to remember here. Fear God, glorify God, and worship God. This angel proclaims the everlasting gospel, the gospel that will last all through eternity. And he says, and this is what it looks like. Those who fear God, those who glorify God, and those who worship God. Very Christian words, are they not? Very Christian words. Fear God, right? What does it mean to fear God? Reverence is a good one. It is helpful to look at the word fear God and think of what the opposite would be. If you didn't fear God, what would that mean? That you would not submit to his authority, right? You're not afraid of him. It's like driving down Concord Road when the sign says caution, construction, 25 miles an hour, and you're doing 45 miles an hour down the road. You are rejecting the authority that there could be a cop up on the road marking your speed and give you a ticket. You're saying, I'm not going to submit to that authority. That authority is living underneath God's authority. When you are accepting and living under his authority, you are placing yourself into his will and under his care. Have you placed your life under God's authority? Are you living in the fear of God? Does he, the one that calls the shots in your life? When you read the scriptures, when you pray and hear his voice, when you hear instructions from the Lord, do you say, oh, yes, sir, and be obedient to that? Because you don't want to displease God. We all know many people in this world that don't care about pleasing God, even Christians, living their lives the way they want to live. See, I want to live my life in such a way where it pleases the Lord. I haven't always been Pastor Rob. Pastor Rob got to a place where he got saved one Easter service in 1993, and I put myself under the authority of God. The message spoke to me because there were some people in my life and my wife's life who said, we love you enough to invite you to an Easter service, where for the very first time I heard the gospel in very plain, clear language. And it ministered to my heart. And I finally understood the meaning and the purpose of life was not just whoever dies with the most toys wins. I finally got to the place where, God, you want to dwell inside my heart, and then you want to change me, and you want to transform me in such a way that you want to use my life. It's great that we're saved by Christ, amen? Amen. But isn't it great that we're saved by Christ and then being able to be used by Christ? Even better. And I don't know where you are in your journey with the Lord. I don't know how long you've been saved. I don't know how much you know about God or understand his word, but there are opportunities that God has for every single person in this room to show love to someone else. I am so thankful that we had some friends in our life that are willing to invite us to an Easter service. I'm so glad that I went to Easter services, and so therefore I went. But it was that time and that time only where my ears and my heart were open to receive. It was a place in my life where I needed God, and God showed up. Has God done that in your life? Have you submitted yourself under his authority? Are you in the fear of God? Let's put it this way. The fear of God. He's all-powerful and all-knowing. He's all-powerful. He can save you. He can destroy you. He's all-knowing. That's kind of fearful in itself. I don't know what you're doing behind your closed doors, but God does. God knows. He's all-knowing. And so you might as well submit yourself under his authority. So that's the fear of God. The next thing is the glory of God. I put it this way. Glorifying God is reactional. If fearing God is positional, we put ourselves under the authority of God, then the glorifying of God is reactional. We glorify God because he's done something, either in our lives or someone else's life. Jesus said this, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." To think about that for a second, that your life can represent God in such a way that would cause someone else to glorify God. Isn't that wonderful? When do we give God glory? When do you give God glory? When he does something great in your life. When he does something great in someone else's life. When we see him heal someone of cancer. When we see him, we give God glory because he has the power to do that. Pastor RJ and I were friends. Have been friends for a long time. We are friends. We've been friends for a long time. We used to go fishing together. He would catch fish. I would feed fish. The worms that were on my hook. But I glorify God because of what he's done in that man's life. I give God glory because I've seen this man's life transformed from being a business owner, a great business owner, to being a man of God that loves serving Jesus, amen, that loves serving this church. And I give God glory for that. That's the kind of life we should be living, guys. If the gospel has changed you and transformed you, then you should be positionally fearing God under his authority. You should be reactionally glorifying God because of what he's doing either in your life or others' lives around you. That's the beauty of this gospel. He's worthy of it. And he does it every single day, whether we even realize it or not. He's doing amazing things in our lives. We just got to give him the glory during it. And then the third thing, the last thing. Fearing God is positional. Glorifying God is reactional. Worshiping God, listen, it's relational. To worship God. All right? Now, I just love the way the word works. Here this angel proclaims, you're going to worship God, the creator of heaven and earth, the sea and all the springs, the creator of everything, God the creator, not the Big Bang theory, God that created everything and created you. Worship him. Isn't that the first commandment that God gave? Have no other gods before me. Worship me, because I was there before anything ever existed. Listen to this. Make me think about it. If you worship anything but God, you worship a created thing. Think about that for a minute. When we worship God, we're worshiping the creator. When you worship anything else, Antichrist included, it's a created thing. Whew. And we have a tendency to worship things, do we not? We know the idols that are in our lives, and God says, I want you to worship me. I want you to worship me because I created you. And I created you in my image. He didn't create animals in his image. He didn't create the trees and the foliage in his image. He created us in his image. And so I wonder if we are the kind of people that are going to sit under the authority of God, if we're going to give him glory for the works that he's doing, that in the end we're just going to worship him, because you can't worship God unless you're fearing him and unless you're giving him glory. Oh, we practice it on Sunday mornings when we sing. But my prayer is that you'll worship God on Tuesday afternoon after you've had a hard day at work and you're on your way home and you're just thinking about the Lord, and maybe he reminds you about this message and you remind you, I'm fearing you, I'm glorifying you, and now I want to worship you. Because it's a relational thing. He wants to have a relationship with you. How is your relationship? How is your relationship with God right now? Is it strong? Is it close? If you have a strong and powerful relationship with God, every other relationship in your life is going to be strong and powerful. Are you living up to your greatest potential? These three angels give three distinct messages and remind us of where we should put our most of our energy. And if our greatest potential is serving God and honoring him and representing him rightly, letting his light shine through us, boy, the opportunities that are available to us. Let's serve him with all of our hearts. We've been given the gospel. Angels will proclaim it at one point, but we get to do it today. So let's proclaim it. Father, we thank you for your word today. We thank you that you've reminded us, Lord, that our relationship with you is the most important thing. And when our relationship with you is in order, then everything else can fall into place. Because it's not going to matter what happens. Sure, we're going to get disappointed. Sure, we're going to get discouraged. But we're going to be reminded very quickly that we serve you, Lord. That we're in the world, but we're not of it. We're just passing through. And so help us to hold on to the things of this world very loosely. Let's not hold on to anything that's physical, that's tangible here on this earth. For one day we're going to have to stand before you with open hands. Can bring nothing with us except the relationships that we have with each other. And so I pray for all of us, Lord, that we would be investing in those relationships in such a way that our light would shine and others would glorify you. I pray for everybody in this room, Lord. I pray wherever their heart is, I pray, God, that they've been spoken to by your word, that they know now and are reminded now how much you love them and how much you want for them. So I pray that you would fill them with your Holy Spirit. Guide and direct their steps. Give them eyes to see and ears to hear the opportunities that you're going to put before them this week. And let them fear you, let them glorify you, and let them worship you with all of their hearts. We give you the glory and the honor and the praise. We ask you to be with us the rest of this day. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.